Welcome to the Rebel Without a Par podcast. I am your host, Dan Gauthier of DanGauthierGolf.com. Make sure you guys are following along. Make sure you subscribe. If you want to be part of the show, call on in. Our number here is 860-266-6343. Call on in. Leave us a voicemail. We'll put it up on air someday. We'll start talking about it a little bit more, see what you guys have to say. All right, guys. Thanks for joining us today. I have Joseph Ferger here at Lyman Orchards Golf Club in Middlefield, Connecticut. Joe, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So we're going to do a little bit of Monday morning caddy here. We're going to talk about all things from this past week on the PGA Tour, kind of our views, our thoughts, what we saw when we were going on. So Mark Leishman
with the W.
Wire to wire, 23 under par. That's pretty good considering here's a guy that we don't really talk about a ton here in the States. So for him to be able to kind of put this all together at a time like this where there's a lot of money on the line.
Immaculate timing. Perfect.
Pretty special there. One of the cool things that I was doing as I was watching the coverage yesterday is I decided to just go in. I looked up his what's in the bag kind of thing. And it was really funny to me. Pretty stock standard Callaway guy, you know, epic driver, epic three wood. Here's the thing that I think is funny, though. He has a Callaway Steelhead XR. I'm guessing one of the new ones. 7 wood. It's 21 degrees. So my first question to you, Joe, is since when is 21 degrees a 7 wood?
It's not.
Okay. Because again, when I was growing up, I mean, that was a 5 wood. That was a standard 5 wood when I was growing up, right?
Right.
But at the same time, since when does a PGA Tour pro use a 7 wood?
Since they want to hit the ball a little higher, get a little more forgiveness. I don't know.
Okay. I mean, if it were me, I mean, I'm not nothing against Mark Leishman. Clearly, he just made a lot of money yesterday. nothing against him, but if it were me, I'd be like, hey, Cal, like, can you just put a 5 on the bottom of that? Or can we just put the 21 degrees? We don't have to put the 7 wood. We don't have to put...
See, he won a tournament. No one's going to give him anything.
Well, that's the thing. Once you win, I guess it's all validated. You don't have to worry about one thing.
Right.
But what I also thought was interesting is then below that, he had the Apex UT, you know, utility iron there. It doesn't give me a degree of that one. I'm wondering what it is. If it's, I'm thinking he might even have like an 18 or 19 degree utility iron.
Nice little 2 iron.
Yeah.
Off the tee.
And then have his, you know, his 7 wood there, the 21 degree wood, maybe out of the rough, something like that. I'm sure you could hit it out of some pretty crazy lies, but that's something we've seen, you know, recently here that a lot of these tour pros are starting to go to 5 woods, 7 woods. I mean, something that they could get, you know, off a tee, but they could also hit from some pretty funky lies out there, which I thought was pretty interesting because just a few years ago, I mean, nobody on tour would be caught dead with a 5 wood. I mean, if you had a second fairway wood in your bag, you were the short hitter. You were the guy, you know, nobody wanted to hang out with there because the 2 iron was pretty standard, you know, not that long ago. They are, that's for sure. There's still a few guys out there hanging on. You know, then he had the Callaway Apex Pro, the 16s, 4-through pitching wedge. Wedges, here's another good one. This is something a lot of tour pros are going to as well. He had the Mac Daddy 54, but then he played a Vokey SM6 58 degree. So even within his wedges to kind of see, you know, some changes there, you know, again, I think that's something not a lot of people, at least if you don't follow golf intimately, you don't really see. You know, you assume these guys have a Callaway golf bag, so they're playing Callaway irons.
Yeah, you automatically assume it's one brand throughout the entire bag, but it's just becoming more and more popular with more golfers now. You see more of a mixed bag of clubs.
It is.
You said, especially maybe they'll have, like, TaylorMade drivers, Mizuno irons, and Titleist wedges.
Yeah.
It's just whatever feels right, they go with it.
Well, it's funny. I was looking, WRX just had, like, a posted what's in the bag, you know, or Thursday at the BMW, whatever it was. There's a few guys, especially being at the end of the year here, contracts are getting up, things like that. But you'll have guys with like a TaylorMade bag, and then it's all ping clubs or all Titleist clubs or something like that. So it could be a little bit of everything. It could be, hey, they just had a bag and a golf ball deal. They didn't have a club deal. You know, it's funny. I was talking to our Nike rep here, and it was just interesting. His view of things when Nike was getting out of the business and things, he goes, this is great for us. He goes, think about it. We can still get a golf bag on some of these guys. He goes, that's what people see. The people see the logo on their hats. The people see the logos on their shirts.
Right.
He goes, very rarely do you really see, you know, close up enough to what this guy is playing on TV. Again, those people that follow golf very intimately, people that are on the blogs, on the websites, you know, we can see what they're playing up close and personal. But for the casual golf fan who still makes up the majority of golf watchers on a Sunday afternoon,
they're looking at the shirt, looking at the hat.
Exactly. You know, the golf bag, maybe that's next to them. So a lot of these companies are getting a little creative. No more is it just 14 clubs, golf balls, we'll give you everything. Now it's a lot of times, hey, we just want you to have our bag. You know, right. we just want to be in the picture. We don't really care, you know, what else is going on. So I thought that was pretty interesting from Leishman's bag. But pretty special from a guy, again, that we don't really talk a ton about, you know, here in the U.S. But, I mean, now, shoot, the guy is number 4 in the FedEx Cup. So if he wins next week,
that's
a smooth $10 million payday in the bank. And all of a sudden, we got to be talking about him a lot.
Right.
So, and that kind of brings me to my next point here, as Leishman moved up into 4th position from 7. So it's not like he was a sleeper necessarily going in. He didn't. You know, he wasn't moving from 30th to 4th or anything crazy right. like that. But I loved watching the coverage this weekend here. I mean, this is something I think they need to start doing every single week on tour. But this, you know, top 30 watch, I thought that was one of the coolest things ever. I mean, we're watching guys struggling, you know, on the last hole. Phil, I think you mentioned earlier.
Phil going for that chip to try and hole it.
How often do we see that, though, with Phil? Like, he's trying to make a chip and he hits the hole. Or it may not go in every time. But when really he has close. To do it, it's
really close.
It is there. It's pretty interesting, though. But I love that top 30 watch. I think it makes watching golf, especially when somebody like Leishman, I mean, he started the day with a 4-shot lead or 5-shot lead.
Right.
I think it makes something like that pretty interesting, a little bit more fun to watch. Because sometimes when guys have a 5-shot lead, I mean, they can shoot even and they're good, you know? And that was kind of the same thing. Leishman was just even keel. I think he was 1-under yesterday.
Right.
Maybe 2-under, I can't remember. But, you know, pretty even keeled. Nobody really jumped up towards him. I know Jason Day was trying, but couldn't quite put it all together there.
Must be the caddy.
Time for a new one, right? that's a lot of guys are searching caddies now, huh?
It makes no sense. I don't think it makes sense.
Well, what I think is interesting, too, is a lot of these guys are switching caddies, and they're just going with, you know, buddies of theirs now. Right. It's not necessarily this guy who's been out on tour, you know, cutting his teeth per se for the past 20 years. It's just, hey, come carry my bag and I'll figure everything else out.
Could it be more of a kind of ease in the mind thing per se?
I'm sure that's something to it, you know? I mean, that's pretty special. But again, when you got that much money on the line, I want a guy that's going to give me a really good number. I don't,
right.
you know,
yeah.
I want to be able to trust that. And that's an interesting relationship. So when we look at this top 30, though, if we go right to the number, right at 30, I believe it's Jason Duffner. Yeah, I mean, so he dropped a couple of spots. I'm sure he was a little nervous there. He went from 25th to 30th.
Right.
The guy that I really enjoyed watching yesterday was Patrick Cantlay. I mean, he went from 41st to 29th this week. Talk about, you know, a must-have week, a must, you know.
He's a happy camper. Regardless of what happens next week, I mean, he's just happy to make it to another week.
Yeah, I mean, that's incredible. And a guy, again, who's just been super even keel. I mean, we don't hear a ton about him, but I thought I read somewhere he hasn't missed a cut all year.
That's a dream, right there.
Again, from a kid who's pretty young, too. He hasn't exactly been out here for 10, 15 years,
right.
But he's kind of figured it out pretty quickly what he's got to do. If we look just outside that top 30 now.
Oh, by one.
One shot, or less than one shot, I'm guessing, Louis Oosthuizen. Major champion winners here, all over the place. It's Louis Oosthuizen, Henrik Stenson, who else? Phil Mickelson, Bill Haas. You know, Bill Haas is not that far removed from winning the FedEx Cup.
Right.
So, again, that's pretty interesting.
And then the woes of Rory McIlroy continue.
I mean, we got to go way down. Zach Johnson was 48th. Ian Poulter, 52. And then we get all the way down to 58 where we see Rory McIlroy. I mean, we know a lot of injuries, got married this year, you know, a lot of stuff going on there.
That's the excuse, the marriage.
Use it if you can, right? but, I mean, that's pretty crazy for a guy who, again, I mean, he was number one in the world a year and a half ago. You know, to now all of a sudden he's missing out on the Tour Championship, 58th in the FedEx Cup.
That's golf.
That's big, man.
That's golf, though.
I hope for his sake he can kind of put it all together again next year, maybe get healthy this winter. Now he's got the equipment stuff behind him with all the TaylorMade now. Here's a guy, though, again, when he's healthy, he should be one of the best players in the world.
Right.
He'll
bounce back.
He should. Exactly. He should bounce back. One of the other guys here, though, this is one I know you're going to love to talk about, who played his way into the top 30 this week. He finished 25th. He was 34th going into this week, but Sergio Garcia. So our Masters champion, again, won the Masters, but maybe didn't do a ton after that, per right. se.
Solid.
But played his way in at 25 this week. And did you watch the coverage?
Speaking of 25, I'm pretty sure it was 25 minutes for that ruling on 18.
I think it was even longer than that, to tell you the truth, Joe. I mean, that was brutal.
That was cringeworthy.
That was brutal. And again, I'm not necessarily blaming Sergio Garcia.
Right.
I'm more blaming the rules of golf. I mean, that's crazy. 28 minutes to make a decision.
So
describe it for us, Joe. What was kind of going on there?
So Sergio, from what I'm guessing, hit his second shot into the hazard, which is just a lateral hazard, bunch of rocks, and a little bit of water. So where he was standing and attempting to make the swing, his backswing and follow through were both affected by the grandstand behind him. So he called the rules official over and a couple of awkward walks over the rocks later, and 28 minutes later, attempting to figure out a spot where to drop the ball to where I guess he's still in the hazard but not affected or any closer to the hole or affected by the grandstand.
Did you know you could actually drop a ball in a hazard?
Honestly, no.
I have no idea you could drop.
I need to brush up on my decision book a little bit because I did not know that.
Okay, so here's that. You just explained it perfectly. That is my biggest issue with the rules of golf in general. We may be the only sport in the entire world that has a rule book
and then a book to five times the size.
Right. You know, a book that has to explain the rule book. Right. You know, that you said that's, you know, borderline bigger than a dictionary, all just to explain certain rules. This making the rules easier thing that can't come soon enough at this point.
If the USGA wants to honestly grow this game in the eyes of amateur golf and professional golf, they need to simplify the rules from the tee to the green and everywhere around it.
But in my opinion, what I think they really need to do is they just need to have the PGA Tour has its own set of rules, and then everybody else has their own set of rules. I mean, if you think about it, look at baseball, right? I mean, a little league field is smaller. Little league uses metal bats. College right. uses metal bats. Then the pros go to wooden bats and bigger fields and a different baseball. And so it's kind of the same thing here. It's why does all of a sudden everybody have to play by the same exact rules every day? I mean, look at basketball. The NBA three line is way further than a college line. It's like right. 3 or 4 feet further at the top of the key there. I mean, so why is it that everybody's trying to, you know, make it whatever the best players in the world are doing? Well, that's what Joe Schmo, you know, everybody has to do.
Probably because we're all playing on a golf course. So the golf course, the only thing that differentiates the professionals from the amateurs when it comes to a golf course is the set of tees they play on, or at least it should.
It should. We won't go that deep.
We don't want these 20 handicaps playing from the tips, but they do because they see the pros do it. Whereas we've seen a push recently on the certain yardages and restrictions that your handicap should play at. Like, I believe I saw a list on Facebook. I believe you shared it on Facebook. If you're like a PGA Tour pro, you should be playing anywhere from 76 to 7,900 yards. If you drive it to 75, you should play anywhere from 66 to 6,900.
Yep. And I mean, that's all well and good, but there's still those guys out there where it's like, I mean, I may not hit it as far as some guys, but I'm still a +2 handicap. So there are those, you know, that's why I'm not a big fan of that necessarily ranking per
right.
se. Because there are some guys that can hit their 3-iron closer than I can hit my wedge. So what
yeah.
does it matter? You know what I mean? But I just think it's one of those things where it's really interesting that golf is kind of that sport, though, that you know, our governing body is a little slow to
adapt.
Keep up with the times,
yeah.
I guess you would call it.
Right.
So I'd really be interested to see when these final rule changes do come out. I mean, I know they posted some of them. I don't think those are necessarily right. The correct rules to change. But that also brings us to another point on the web.com tour, the Albertsons Boise Open here. Ben Crane, did you see that one? He had two different four-shot penalties For launch monitor stickers on his club.
Not even launch monitor stickers. They're just little metallic stickers that weren't even placed anywhere near the center of the club face. So I believe they showed a picture on Twitter. His 6-iron had one sticker on the middle top groove of the club.
Yep.
And his driver had 3 stickers on the heel and 1 sticker on the toe. Now, if I remember the rules properly, I believe the rule is if there are any decals or anything on the club to aid the golfer in striking the ball,
right,
then that's a breach of the rule. But unless Ben Crane is planning on hitting his iron from the top groove or his driver off the heel and toe every single shot, I don't see how those stickers enhanced his game in any way whatsoever.
I mean, I think they're calling it alignment aids or something like that. But again, that's just one of those things where I wish the rules of golf, even if they don't change, I wish we could use a little bit more common sense, I guess you would call it.
Right.
I mean, clearly he didn't mean to have them there for one. He was just using them on a launch monitor so that the launch monitor could pick up his club data a little bit better. You know, like you said, there was no help. There was no aid there. I mean, this is something, again, a rules official to just say, hey, take them off, you know, okay, don't do it again.
Again, how is this going to grow the game in any way? Since that seems to be the big deal over the last couple of years.
Right.
We're trying to grow the game. We're trying to branch out to the casual fan, and this is doing the exact opposite.
How is this not growing the game, in your opinion?
Because if I'm a casual golfer and I see that headline, Ben Crane gets 2-4 shot, that's 8 strokes.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he shot 3 under after that assessment,
right, getting great 75.
But still, it's just, to me, that would turn me off.
Okay.
And it just doesn't make sense. I really think just the USGA, the RNA, all the governing bodies just need, they all just need to get together. We need to just make it simplistic. We need to make this game is hard enough as it is. Think about it. You're hitting a motionless ball with a crooked stick, and it's just hard enough. It makes no sense. We need to simplify the rules. We need to simplify the penalties. We need to simplify the drops. We need to simplify hazards. Everything.
Or we just need to use common sense.
There's no such thing.
Sergio, your ball was in a hazard. That's a penalty.
Yes.
Simple as that. Drop your ball outside the hazard if you can't play it. I'm sorry. You know.
Props to him for still making par and almost destroying that BMW.
Well, that was the best part. So he got 2 free drops on that hole, one in the hazard. And then after he placed it in the hazard, he kind of sculled this one from the it almost into the grandstands. And I could see that $200,000 BMW right, you know, right there where his golf ball was heading. I'm sure the guys at BMW were cringing just a little bit as he was hitting that. But along those lines, too, here's another headline that this might have been my favorite one, talking about growing the game,
right,
things like that. Wesley Bryan played his entire round in 1 hour and 20 minutes yesterday. So clearly he wasn't exactly in contention. He was the last guy. And when you're the last guy on tour, you get the option of, hey, I want a marker to play with me to kind of just keep the conversation going. And he decided to not play with a marker. And he basically, him and his caddy just ran for 18 holes. I really thought it was funny. I was following on Twitter again as I was watching. Jason Sobel tweeted out. He said, while Sergio Garcia was waiting to hit his shot on 18, Wesley Bryan played another 18 holes. So, I mean, that's pretty awesome. I think it was 1 hour and 28 minutes that he played his last round in. Could you physically play in 1 hour and 28 minutes, Joe?
No.
I mean, with a cart, with running, with anything? What's your quickest time for 18?
The shortest time I actually played 18 holes, it was actually a couple days ago. I had a little practice round with my friend. We played a little two-person alternate shot. We played 18 holes in 2 hours and 15 minutes.
Okay, so 2:15 is pretty good. Joe, he was 1 hour quicker than you guys.
Yeah.
He also shot 69.
Okay,
so,
yeah, we
2 under, that helps.
Yeah.
It didn't quite get
we
there.
We shot 4 under, thank you. But
alternate shot?
Yes.
That's pretty good. but no, I mean, that's, I again, when we're talking about pace of play and growing the game and how slow things are on tour, here's a guy that just said, you know what, I'm going to go out there.
There should be a new poster boy for that.
Hour and 28 minutes. I mean, should we make everybody on tour play like this? Just run to your ball, hit it, go find it?
We'll separate the athletes from the not-so-athletic real quick.
John Daly is thanking God he gets a cart on the Champions Tour right now. If that's the new rule that comes in.
I would pay money to see John Daly run to this golf ball.
No, you would not.
Put it in slow motion.
No, you would not, Joe. But I just thought that was incredible. I mean, that's pretty awesome. An hour and 28 minutes. I don't know if I could physically do that. I mean, I might have to try this week.
Yeah, good luck with that. I'll come pick you up in the ninth hole.
Well, see, and that's the problem is like, you know, clearly he had a caddy.
Right.
But he still wasn't, like, rushing, per se. I mean, they were quick in between shots, but he still got his number, still took his club. I mean, played pretty well. If he should have, you know, done this all week long, maybe he could have had something there. But it's just so funny to see something so different out there. I know guys on tour try and do this every once in a while. Clearly he wasn't making it to Atlanta to the Tour Championship. So, good on him, I mean, for kind of...
Played well, played fast. I mean, that's right. What it's supposed to be.
Gave us something to talk about. I just thought that was awesome, though. That's something I wish more guys on tour would kind of take into account here.
Right.
So, Joe, let's talk about this last tournament of the year here. So, Tour Championships in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any predictions? So, what is it? Is it the top... If you're in the top five
and you win, you're winning the FedEx Cup.
You're in. Okay. So, who's... do you have a pick? Can a guy outside of the top five win it?
I don't know.
If they win the tournament, is it like everybody else in the top five has to blow up or something?
Probably.
Because there's 30 guys that get invited. It is a $10 million payday. So I'm expecting the best players in the world to be able to step it up.
I have my money on Spieth.
Jordan Spieth.
I got my money on Spieth. So here's my question to you. If Spieth wins next week and wins the FedEx Cup, who's getting player of the year?
Mark Leishman. that's a tough question because as of right now, I'd say Justin Thomas has it. But Jordan Spieth, I don't know if you saw, he put up a 65 yesterday, got himself back into the top 20. So in every single event in the playoffs here, he's finished top 20. He was top five in every one except for this week.
Right.
That's tough. I mean, I don't have an answer for you.
Obviously, if JT wins, he's getting player of the year.
Correct. Yeah, that one I would 100% agree with.
If Jordan Spieth doesn't win, JT's getting player of the year. So I think in order for Spieth to get that player of the year, he's going to have to win this week.
Here's a real question for you, too. Does it matter?
What?
Who wins the player of the year? I mean, is the player of the year a big thing that we're looking at? Is that something?
I mean, I think.
Is that like making an all-star team where like it's cool to have on your resume, but it really doesn't matter?
I think when it's a headlock between two people like that, I think it makes play.
Two really good friends, too. That's right. The best part of it.
I think that makes it a lot more interesting.
So doesn't this mean, too, that they'll be paired up in the Tour Championship for the first couple rounds at least? Because they go by the FedEx the points, I believe.
I hope so.
So that would be pretty cool if they were paired up together and we got to see them kind of going down to the wire. I mean, that would be cool. If they're paired up together 4 days in a row.
That'd be awesome.
I think that would be pretty cool, you know, coming down to the wire in the last group, those two guys. Then I think it would be a cool story to talk about the player of the year.
Right.
I think too many times a player of the year is kind of a foregone conclusion by this point. So yeah, I guess it is kind of cool that it's coming down.
So that probably overshadows the FedEx Cup and everything then?
Well, I mean, it's still $10 million.
Yeah. That'd be nice.
That's $10 million to the winner of the FedEx Cup. That's pretty awesome. So our top five rounds out at John Rahm. Four is Mark Leishman. Three, Dustin Johnson. Two, Justin Thomas. One, Jordan Spieth. So out of those five guys, you have Spieth. I'm going to go with – I can't disagree with you. That's the hard part. I want to. I don't know who in that group. I mean, Justin Thomas clearly is having a year to remember. I read a stat somewhere about Justin Thomas's year so far. If he wins the FedEx Cup, so wins that extra $10 million plus the one point something
right.
for winning the single event, I read somewhere that he's going to make something like maybe $3,500 per golf swing on tour this year.
Oh, my Lord.
So, I mean, if somebody was paying me $3,500 per golf, I'd shoot 150 every day of my life. But, no, I mean, that's pretty crazy to think about. I mean, $3,500 per shot.
That's...
not per round, not per nine.
Hopefully,
per
JT's
shot.
Not thinking about that right now.
I don't think he has to worry about that. He does not have to worry about that. What I'll really be interested to see is what does he buy himself? So he's been known, he buys himself something every time he kind of wins a tournament or gets to one of his goals. So I think it was like a PGA, he bought a new car or something like that, gave his mom his old one. So I'll be interested to see if he wins $10 million.
What's he going to buy?
What could you buy that you don't already have? I mean,
another new car?
I bought my fourth home today. So that'll be interesting. I guess I'll agree with you. I'll say Jordan Spieth. Again, I kind of want to disagree, and I want to pick somebody else.
Who's a sleeper?
I just don't know. I'm going to say John Rahm.
I'm going to say Dustin Johnson after the week he had.
True. Okay, so he didn't have the greatest week.
Right.
But... here's it. John Rahm had, I mean, he won earlier this year, but he's kind of just been lurking around. He hasn't been a guy that, you know, he's been winning every week or he's been one or two every week. I mean, he's kind of just been lurking top 10, top 15s all over the place.
So John Rahm and Dustin Johnson, we just mentioned two complete polar opposite personalities right there. We've got Dustin Johnson, who's cool as a cat, and John Rahm, who... is the opposite of that, pretty much. He lets his emotions get the better of him, which...
there's nothing wrong with breaking a club once in a while.
I'm not a fan of that. I think, especially...
if you got him for free, you'd break him too.
If I was on tour, though, and I... especially all the kids that are in attendance and watching on TV, I'm pretty sure I would try to set a better example for myself. Especially knowing that, I mean, come on. If you're doing well on tour, you know you're set for life. Let's be honest. Between the money you get for winning a tournament, getting the tournament, the sponsorships you have. I don't know. I personally don't enjoy the antics of John Rahm, as I can say. I kind of love watching.
I love it, John. Keep being you.
I love the guys like DJ, man. Just he'll make an eagle or a double bogey, and his expression does not change.
So boring, John.
Yeah, but then he'll hit a drive 365 yards. And
John Rahm can do that.
Yeah, but DJ looks cool.
All right, guys. So I guess we'll have to see this week. Make sure you tune back in next Monday. We'll do this again, and we'll be talking all about the tour championships and what's going to be going on in the off season. So, Joe, thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
And hopefully we'll do this again soon.
As always, guys, thanks for listening. Let me know in the comments section down below what you thought of today's episode. Let me know if you have any ideas for some future episodes. And make sure you're always subscribing. DanGaucherGolf.com, DanGaucherGolf, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, you name it. Rebel Without a Par podcast, guys. Thanks for listening.